Welcome. My name's Kate. I'm here today with Cade Lee.
Hi. So,
hi. Thank you for being here today. I really appreciate you coming. And
yeah, not a problem at all. Thank you for having me.
No, very excited to interview you and learn more about your job and Shields and
all the excitement that is my life.
Yeah. So thank you.
Yep, no problem.
Okay, let's get into this. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself first?
I work at Shields in their corporate office. I work for Shields.com. My official title is a digital marketer for them. I oversee specific shops on the website and make sure that everything is maintained and looks good, and keeping track of sales trends, sales goals. Before that, I worked in the marketing office for them, on the digital team, doing email marketing, and I got that job right out of college, and my college degree is just a marketing major from Bemidji State University.
Cool. So what drove you towards your career in marketing?
I've always really liked sales. Just the act of selling has always been exciting for me. And I think marketing, you know, it's not just sales. It goes a lot deeper than just selling something. It's about the reasons why consumers behave the way they do. And I think that's always been super interesting to me. Even from a young age, always just fundraisers or whatever, I've always been fascinated about how can I sell myself or sell my ideas or sell other people's ideas to people and get them to buy into what I believe in. And that's just the fascination of marketing for me. Just every business starts with marketing, and I think that's just the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's awesome. So did you know this is what you wanted to do going into your college career?
I think like every 18-year-old, you don't really know anything. You go in thinking you know what you want. I think it took me a long time to really realize like this is what I want to do. Probably until, you know, probably the end of my junior year. So I had already taken a year. Of my business classes, and it took me a long time to realize, like, yes, this is what I want to do. I went in just with a vague idea, but I came out just all in and really enjoying myself and realizing, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about your day-to-day schedule at Shields? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, so you know, the most important thing is just making sure that product is presented well on site, making sure, you know, everything from product images, so working with our marketing team or our vendors to make sure that we have good quality images on our product pages, working with our buying team and our vendors to make sure that we have the right information on our products. That's the first and that's the most important part. Essentially the most important thing is going to be the customer facing, so the front end, just everything that a customer sees. We got to make sure that everything is there and shows well. And then the more, I would say the more time consuming and, less visible side of it is the back end. So therefore, you know, making sure that our pages, show well on Google, through SEO, working with our marketing team to, have good marketing campaigns if we have sales promotions. And there's a lot of things just with pricing, making sure that we are showing we're following MAP rules, so minimal advertised price, making sure that we're not going to get in trouble, and by showing prices that are too low. Just staying ahead of sales trends, seeing what's trending up, what's trending down, and being reactive to those different things.
Okay, so do you have a favorite part of your job? Like, what's your favorite thing to do when you're, you know, behind the scenes? I mean, no one really sees that part of Shields. Like, I mean, Shields is humongous, but right. No one really sees that. So
yeah.
What's your favorite part, I guess?
Well, for me, I get to work with my passion. My passion is hunting. And passion's a big word at Shields. You know, it's what makes the company of Shields successful. When you go into our stores, you'll see it, where if you ask an employee a question, they know the answer to it because they use the product and they enjoy using those products. And so for me, I feel very lucky that I get to look at hunting stuff all day long. And, I think what makes me successful as a marketer for Shields is that I'm a customer first, and therefore I know if I'm a customer what I would want to see and how I'd want it to be presented to me. And I think that allows me to really target those people. And so for me, I just get to look at toys all day. It's all things that I like to look at, and I get paid to do it. And so that's been awesome for me, just to essentially just research what I would be researching on my couch in my living room.
Yeah. So do you spend a lot of money at Shields too with all the hunting?
Yeah. The discount doesn't save me any money.
Oh, okay.
I feel sometimes like I'm volunteering my time, but they just give me the gear. So,
yeah.
But that's all right. I'm okay with that.
At least love your job.
I love my job.
That's awesome.
Yep.
All right. So, okay. We'll go into marketing now. Mm-hmm. So, when thinking about customers and the consumers, who is your target market?
This has changed a lot over the last 3 years for Shields.com. Shields.com is growing at an extremely fast rate. And 2016 is when I came on to the team. And in 2016, we were just putting stuff on the website and hoping it sold. And as we've gone forward and we've worked really heavily with Google Analytics, paid search, developed a really good online marketing strategy and plan. And so in the beginning, kind of the only people that were finding Shields.com were people that were customers in the store first. Now, especially in 2019, we saw a huge trend of people out of market. So a huge part of our business is customers kind of Midwest to East. And whereas the majority of our stores are Midwest to West.
Mm-hmm.
And so especially in the hunting category, we're really seeing a lot of success with the early 30s to early 50 range males.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, that's extremely specific to hunting.
So people who can afford it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. That's with the Shields brand. If you look at the towns that our stores are in, it's a very across the board, the towns that they're in are very similar in terms of, just the demographics that are there, economy of the town, like they're very similar, and we see that trend continue online as well.
Oh, cool. How do you develop a strategy to target these segments?
So it depends on the product. Shields is extremely... Shields has higher-end products. Biggest complaint I hear from people is I hate Shields because everything's expensive. It's not Shields is expensive. It's the products we carry are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're developing a strategy to market, the biggest barrier to entry on product is going to be price for a lot of our customers. So depending on what the product is going to be, for example, Sitka is the highest end hunting clothing camo brand that we carry. And then we have all the way down to would be Shields Outfitters is the going to usually be the cheapest. And so if we're going to sell these two jackets side by side, we are going to market the quality and the premium aspect of the Sitka jacket. And we are going to talk about how feature rich the product is. We're going to talk
like about the quality.
We're trying to justify the cost. Whereas when we move to the Shields Outfitter, we are going to start looking at the price. So targeting those customers that are not going to make a purchase decision on the Sitka jacket, but they are going to make a decision on something that's lower in price. So we're going to still continue to sell we're going to sell them on the features. We're going to show them the benefits that can provide them. And then usually we try not kind of bait them in with of the lower price, so that by the time, because the customer has been educated on the premium brands, so then all of a sudden, if they're used to seeing these high prices, and then all of a sudden we hit them with similar features and specs of the jacket, and then we'll hit them with a lower price, we'll usually see that we'll usually see the conversion rate go up.
Okay, so what if it's like a first-time hunter or something, mm-hmm. like they know nothing about hunting? Mm-hmm. Do you think they should just come into the actual Shields, like the actual physical store, or to get more education? Because mm-hmm. I know you said the people who are shopping online mm-hmm. are more educated into like what they know exactly what they what they want to buy.
Oh, absolutely. I would say if I had a friend, I would say yes, mm-hmm. go into the store and ask and yeah. learn. But since I'm trying to increase my sales in my shops, mm-hmm. I would say no. But that's another aspect that we try to provide information for the customers. So so we're trying to provide more than just the product to the customer. A big focus that we want to do, or that we try to. We'll work with our marketing team. They have Shields.com has a blog. And so if we really want to talk a lot about a specific product, we'll have our marketing team write a blog about it. Maybe someone in the store, maybe a professional hunter, fisherman, mm-hmm. or fisherwoman.
Yeah.
And we will have them write a piece about this specific product. So by the time the customer makes a buying decision, they know everything about it.
Yep.
That's the hardest part about selling product online, is the customer doesn't know. If a customer has any questions at all about a product, they'll go somewhere else, find the answer, and buy from that.
Yeah.
So if you were to walk into a store and ask about a product, you would be able, if it was a good associate helping them, they'd be able to answer any question they had, and they would buy the product because there would be no more questions about the product if it was a right fit. So so when we are showing a product on our website, we need to be able to answer any question that a customer may have. And because when you're spending $350 on a jacket, you cannot have any questions. You have to know everything about it before you're going to spend that much money.
Yeah, you have to know what you're buying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, because I'm guessing you guys are also trying to reach new customers, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
get that relationship going.
Yep.
And start that loyalty of Shields, coming to Shields for their hunting needs.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're trying to. So, a big thing at Shields is we're trying to create customers for life.
Mm-hmm.
And you, if you're in the corporate office or in the store, you're going to hear that all the time, the customers for life. And so we want the first time to be a very, very good experience for our customers, and then provide that every single time they come back, whether that's in store or online.
Yeah. And I feel like the online store is amazing just because mm-hmm. people who live in mm-hmm. sort of the middle of nowhere, like mm-hmm. where there's like not a Shields anywhere nearby, like mm-hmm. They'll buy online.
Absolutely.
It's great for you guys.
Yep. Yeah. And in the Midwest, they know the name. I mean, they've driven by a store, or, you know, it's definitely a destination store. It's not a place that is going to be like it's not going to be a Starbucks. It's not going to be on every corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, you know, helps us because, you know, if people drive by a Shields, they're going to swing in and check it out and go on a Ferris wheel ride and get an ice cream cone.
Just because it's huge.
Just because it's there and they can. Yeah.
They have food there too. They have basically everything at Shields.
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, so working in the retail space, what changes have you noticed as a customer, as customers transition from brick and mortar to online shopping?
Probably the biggest thing is we are noticing, we're noticing our traffic pick up at crazy rates. I think, you know, the the biggest aspect of that is has been paid search. We see paid search drive a lot of our traffic. So we put money behind our product pages and our website to help us rank higher on Google searches.
Okay.
So we get a lot of people then that have never heard of us or seen our stores or anything, had zero interaction with Shields.
Yeah.
They all of a sudden are on our website and they have a good experience, and we create a customer for life again. That's in the last 3 years, just the transition from desktop to mobile, 3 years ago it was around 50-50 on customers on a mobile device versus on desktop, and now we are seeing it's almost 3/4 of our customers are on a mobile device. And we're actually seeing we're actually now able to track customers and know what customers are going into our stores based on the information and the marketing material that we're sending them, whether it's email, Facebook posts. It's really creepy, but it's also like really interesting to know, like, oh, this email, we saw X amount of people go into our stores within this time period. And so we're starting to look more at how are we affecting store sales as well as what we're seeing on our web sales as well.
Yeah, and I feel like that's only going to increase.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Technology.
Well, and another thing is that, you know, when you look at if you think about the Jim Bobs in the world who are, you know, late 50s, early 60s, love to fish, love to hunt, you don't necessarily think of someone who's super computer savvy.
Yeah.
And but as time has gone on, that number is going to go down on the people that aren't as comfortable on computers. And so the more comfortable that people are on a computer, the more comfortable they are making a purchase on a computer.
So you're saying like generation like wise, it's just going to get like better just because like people like us who grew up with
the internet. It's totally generational. And it also is just an experience thing. If a person's never bought anything online, but they buy something online for the first time from Shields and we provide a good experience and we make it easy for them,
they're going to keep doing it. Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. So how do you measure and review and adjust to customer feedback?
So we listen to our customers, and I think more than our competitors. I think we take negative feedback extremely serious and we address it ASAP. And we take positive feedback and we address it in the same manner. So we find out what we're doing right and we find out what we're doing wrong. And I'd say the biggest way we do that is through customer service. So our customer service team is only 8 people. So at any given time, we only have 4 people on the phones, answering emails and answering online chats. So you think about we're marketing and selling on a national level, and we have 4 people to handle the load at any given time.
Okay.
And so if you were to call our website, customer service or chat or send an email.
Is it open 24 hours?
It's not.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Only open, I believe it's open till 8 o'clock at night. Now.
Okay.
Holidays season's different, it's increased demand in the holiday season. But, so if you were to call, it's a 1 in 8 chance that you're going to talk to the same person.
Oh.
And so it's an extremely good experience. If you talk to, say, Bailey, today and you call back tomorrow, you can ask for Bailey and you can talk to her again and she's going to remember you and she's going to remember your issue. She's going to remember your compliment, whatever it may be. And that is the experience that we want to provide our customers.
Yeah.
And,
I feel like that's very important to the customer as well. Like
yeah, absolutely.
Knowing that just customer service, like that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so our customers are heard. If we get a complaint, it gets forwarded to, if we get a complaint, whether if it's someone who was in a store and they have a complaint, they'll usually email it into the website because that's the most accessible way to do that.
Okay.
And so we'll usually, as soon as we get that email, we'll pass it on to the store, pass it on to our corporate leadership. And so the issue can get addressed like that immediately. And, you know, I think that allowed that, that both the pressure on that is knowing that if you do not provide a good experience, and that means that your boss and your boss's boss and everybody else is going to see that. So no one wants to be on that list. And also that, just that say it was unintentional, the mistake, we can address it and we can fix it and move on and get better.
Okay. So I do have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking on the Shields, like your online, and I was checking it out today, looking at your hunting specifically.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't have too many reviews and stuff. So what is that, I guess? Should yeah, tell me about that.
So our reviews are a third party, through a third party called Turn2. And so what Turn2 does is they pull reviews directly from the vendors. Usually you're going to see reviews, you're going to see a higher review rate on the specific brand itself. Than you will on a retail level.
Okay.
That's why we see a Shields Outfitter product, we are going to see a lot higher review rate on that product than we would on a Browning jacket.
Because okay, like you're specific
gonna see,
brand.
Yeah, you're going to see, but you're going to see a higher review rate on Browning's website for that product. So if a customer buys from Shields.com, they're still going to go to the vendor's site and review on that site. One thing we are working to try to incentivize reviews. The numbers behind that numbers that we see behind products that have good quality reviews, whether positive or negative, it's unbelievable how it affects the conversion rate. I mean, you'll see products, that start getting reviews, and you, as the more and more reviews you'll see, that more and more sales you'll see. Customers trust customers.
Yeah.
And
that's why I was just kind of wondering about the whole, just looking at it, there wasn't too many reviews. So I know some customers, like, they want to see the reviews before they actually buy something online because they're not 100% sure.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's, you know, look at a company like Amazon.
Yeah.
When you buy a product on Amazon, you read the reviews. Very few times do I buy anything from an online retailer where I don't read the reviews, because I want to know how it fits. I want to know, how it holds up. I want to know everything. And those are things that aren't going to be included in the product description.
Yeah.
And I want people's opinions.
Yeah.
And I want a lot of opinions. I don't want to read two opinions. I want to read 20 opinions. And, because it gets you that much closer to an average if you read the more the merrier. So
All right, well, going into that, how do you measure customer interaction with your site?
So we have a lot of tools that we use. You know, we will use a CRM, customer relationship management tool called Salesforce.
You were talking about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit more what it is?
Yeah. So, what we'll use Salesforce for, we'll use it on a few different platforms. So our email marketing we'll use, our Salesforce for, and that allows us to keep track of, open rates, click-through rates, and just, you know, track customers based on how they interact with email. And we can look at sales, we can look at where they go once they click onto our website from email, and we, you know, kind of anything you really want to know about the customer movement through the website.
Yeah, like you said, it could be a little scary, like knowing that stuff.
We're always watching. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's weird, but it's super beneficial for us.
Definitely.
And then same thing with, you know, like we'll use Salesforce to track just basic movements and sales on the website. I think when you start looking at when you want to take a deeper dive into the web or into customer interaction, or customer behavior on our site, you're going to go to Google Analytics. Google Analytics allows you to watch page paths, click-through rates, time on page, bounce rates, all these things that can tell us a customer looked at this page for this long,
okay.
You know, and you know, say a customer is looking at our website at a pair of running shoes, mm-hmm. and they're on our website. They went from the homepage to the running shoes page to this specific shoe, and we're seeing a high trend. But then all of a sudden, we see time on page of 10 seconds. We're going to then realize we need to do something different because we have a lot of traffic going to this product, but once the customer gets there, they're leaving.
You want like more attention.
Yeah. So what can we do? Can we add a product video? Can we beef up the description a little bit, add some more features, you know, maybe put together an incentive plan for reviews on that product, add a couple images, whatever.
Okay.
It just gives us a lot more transparency on what the customers are doing, because without those tools, we're just guessing.
Okay, so with that, how do you gather content to help promote products?
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of work with our vendors. That'll be a lot of work with our marketing team. You know, for us, we're very heavy on vendors. We have a lot of brands that are outside of just the Scheels brand. So a huge priority and a huge driver for sales is our vendors. And so say Nike has a sale coming up, they're going to let us know, hey, we are going to have a Memorial Day sale. So these dates, boom, boom, start to finish, you're allowed to mark all Nike product down 20%.
Mm-hmm.
If you mark it down before that, you're going to get in trouble and dinged. If you mark it down before that or after that, you're going to get in trouble and dinged, because that Nike doesn't want any of their retailers to have an unfair advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we randomly have our product marked down, you're going to buy from us and not anyone else who sells it at full price.
So you have to follow their rules.
Yep, and that's just a MAP policy, minimal advertised price, and that when we see it's a big driver is sale. So when we see a sale coming up, we're going to work with the vendor, and we're going to get assets from them, whether it be product images, product video, different promotional content. And then we're also going to work with our marketing team to put together, to design up graphics that we can put on our homepage or put on social media and really put together a good sales marketing strategy.
Okay. So what resources do you use to gather information about content?
So that'll be a direct connection with our vendor. So we'll reach out to our rep. So the person who's in charge of selling the product to our buying team. And, you know, we'll reach out and ask, you know, one of our best reps, his name is Seamus. He's a beast. Mm-hmm. And I'll hit him up. I'll say, hey, Seamus, let's figure out a way that we can really knock this one out of the park. What do you got for me? And he'll work with his marketing team. I'll work with my marketing team.
All right.
And we'll put together a good strategy together. And so it's not just us working. It's everybody's working together for one common goal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, next we'll go on to trends. So how do you locate and identify upcoming trends?
So usually you're going to see... So it's actually probably the best way to start is Google. Google is going to see a trend way before our website is going to see a trend. Usually it's just going to be through search terms. So we can keep track of wow, here's a huge spike in this word. I don't know, whatever it is that a customer is looking for. So a big one this year was, Gatorade pods. So it's essentially a Mio that you snap into a Gatorade bottle and it just mixes Gatorade as it comes out. It was the hottest product of the year. And the only reason we saw that trend coming is that we were seeing it extremely high search rates on Google. And therefore we were able to get ahead of that. And we were, kind of pour some gas on the fire and, kind of be ready for that when it hit. And it happened just before holiday. Okay. Another weird one, fidget spinners, when those were huge.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you guys have toys.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
It made our toy shop the number one shop in the company for a month. One month. It was
just for those little
everyone wanted
teeny...
a fidget spinner. And that was another remarkable trend that we saw that just came out of nowhere.
That's insane.
Lit up like crazy and then disappeared. And
yeah.
But that was we see these trends coming usually through Google. Google, since we're a customer of Google, they help us out too. They help us identify these trends. But it just allows us to get ahead of it and be ready for it when it hits. So,
all right. And then how do you measure the success for like the trends once it's passed?
The
fidget spinners for instance.
Yeah. So fidget spinner was kind of the first time where we're like, what is going on? This is insane. Where are all these dollars coming from? Where are all these people coming from?
Mm-hmm.
For these dumb things that are now probably in a landfill somewhere.
Well, because when people think of shills, they don't think of toys.
Right.
So and, that's kind of crazy.
And we crushed it with them.
That's insane.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, the biggest one that we're going to measure is just dollars. You know, we just want to see how did we do in sales. And because once the product, usually say it's like a closeout, so it's a product that's on sale and we'll buy a vendor out of the last of that style. Once the sales pass, we just want to look at the length it took for us to sell through. What are things that we did right? What are things that we did wrong? And because every time you're going to look at things, you're going to look at like the whole length of that trend and you're going to say, if I were to do it again, I would do this different. And so it's identifying what that miss was so that when the next one comes around, you're able to avoid that miss and you're able to get it implemented before the trend hits.
Oh, yeah.
So every time you're going to learn something, but you just kind of got to be open-minded and be able to admit that, there were misses, but
yeah,
usually
not every
trend's
going to.
Yeah, but usually trends are fun because you just have to have, half of it is just having the information there for customers to find.
Yeah. So with trends, like know if they vary from different regions.
Depends on the product.
Okay.
So for
because I know, I mean, you guys are also opened up. You have a Shields in Texas as well. So with like, yeah, is there any difference?
So our website, actually, we have different websites based on where it is. So like a homepage, for example, like right now, the website that you're going to see, it's if you go to the website, you're going to see ice fishing. Whereas if you're in Texas, that's not going to be a very good experience if we're showing ice fishing it's 75 degrees down there. So what we're doing is we are building different home pages and different experiences for customers so that if based on where they are, they're going to see information and products that are applicable to them. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to really, if you live in Texas, you don't want to see any snow, any ice, any of it. You just want to see saltwater fishing and being out on the ocean and
well, it depends on where you are in Texas.
Depends on where you
but,
are.
Yeah.
But you know, there are a lot of shops that we're bringing into our company just based on the Texas store, saltwater fishing being one of them.
Oh, okay.
But you know, I think it just depends on where you are, cuz you have to be relevant to the customer. And if you're showing them things that they don't care about, then you're not relevant anymore.
Yeah. I mean, who would want to go ice fishing in Texas? I mean, you can't.
Yeah, you need ice first.
All right. So, what are the challenges of being a national brand? I mean, I know you guys are growing. Mm-hmm. You have like stores kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. I know, like Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Is it Iowa?
Mm-hmm.
You have one also in like Nevada. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like, we're talking about Texas, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell me about that.
Yeah, so kind of, you know, going back to the last question, just showing different information that is relevant to specific groups of people. also having product, having the product that's relevant to different groups of people. You know, it is, we have to, we can't just be Midwesterners and market to Midwesterners. You know, we have to think about,
the bigger picture.
We have to think about everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we have to think about, there are people right now that don't have snow or that don't, you know, don't, because if you go through Fargo right now, the Fargo store has jackets, snowboards, skis, ice fishing. They have snow boots. I mean, the Fargo store gets set up for winter. The Texas store doesn't get set up for winter. They just are the way it looks, kind of the same year round. So we have to, we just have to be in the mindset of the specific customer groups and where they are. And then we'll react based on those different segments. Prime example, hunting. Every state has different hunting dates, hunting season dates. So what we will do is we'll have, say, we usually do a early, mid, and late hunting flyer. We can't just send the hunting, early hunting flyer to everybody, because it makes us look stupid if we send out a early hunting flyer after the first, after somebody's hunting season already started. So therefore we'll send one flyer in three or four different send dates around the country so that we're relevant and ahead of the hunting season or during the hunting season or after the hunting season. So we can be relevant and look like we know what we're talking about. So we're not just like some big company who just doesn't know what we're talking about. That's, because that just doesn't look well. It doesn't look good for us.
Yeah. And then I'm guessing you guys are going to probably even expand further too.
Yeah, it's usually around two stores a year that we build. Our next store is going to be in Missoula, Montana.
Oh, okay. Because you do have one location in Montana already?
Yep.
Correct?
Yep, correct. Okay. Yep. So we, have that one, and then they just announced... is the next store. I can't remember.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think it might be
but
like,
you guys are growing.
Yeah, Idaho maybe somewhere.
But yeah, definitely
usually
growing.
Usually two stores a year is the rate that we're growing at.
That's awesome. I feel like that's very good for Shills.
Yeah, it's slow and steady for sure. It's a different approach than what we've seen from our competitors. You know, like Target or a Gander Mountain. When Gander Mountain, they did a I think it was like 50 to 100 stores at a time, at their peak. That wasn't forever, but didn't work well for them.
Okay. So speaking of, like, you know, hunting, I mean, that's what you do. So what, when's your busy season? I mean, I know basically it's in the fall, but like, do you have a certain dates, like, or just tell me a little more about it?
Yeah, so we're gonna see a we're gonna see it trend up beginning of August. The earliest hunting seasons are going to be in are gonna start the beginning of September. Big game hunting or like deer hunting is a huge driver of sales for us. So you're gonna see things pick up in August, and then it's gonna stay hot until you get through November, and it's just, those are the dates that are busy. Once you get through the hunting season, that the true busy season for us is holiday. And that, in the retail industry, you're gonna see usually 40 to 50% of your sales in a month and a half period. So you have the whole year to do what you can, and then you have 6 to 7 weeks, this year 5 weeks, to make 40% of your sales for the year or whatever. So
that's insane.
It's a lot of dollars coming through, but it's fun to see that, to see those sales come through. But it's definitely, the preparation is year long just for the holiday season. That's a huge focus for us.
So does your holiday season start before Black Friday? Or is that kind of like when
it's
it
trending
really
that way? Yeah, so it's trending that way just in the industry. You know, people are doing People are doing sales earlier and earlier.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. And the nice thing is for us being on the web is we're able to, the only thing that holds us back is our inventory. So if we have stuff on hand, we can sell it. And
yeah,
it's one of those things where I think that's a trend that you're going to see, more, is that, you know, the Cyber Monday thing, it's going to change, because you can find all the same deals on Black Friday on the website. And if you're going to, you know, why go to the store and wait in line when you could just get in the
online.
Cold, when you could buy the same thing online
here.
And have it delivered straight to your house.
Yeah.
So, you know, we see a lot of success on Black Friday.
Is that your busiest day? Like, in general?
Black Friday is our busiest day of the year. It's busier than Cyber Monday.
Are you more stressed out during those days?
It's a lot. Usually what we do is we've been preparing all year for that.
Yeah.
That time frame. So everything's kind of good to go. What we do then is we kind of go all hands on deck with customer service. So everybody who works on shields.com logs into the customer helpline, and we just answer questions and help customers complete their orders.
Okay. So with your position, are you able to choose your own content and like strategies?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another nice part about my position is there's a lot of freedom. You know, we have pretty strict standards at Shields of how we want things to look, and it's good. I mean, you want your when you look at something that we send or we show a customer, we want our customers to know this is a Shields ad or this is a Shields email.
Yeah.
So it has to have a Shields feel to it. But you know, that it goes back to what would make me want to buy this? And, you know, then, you know, working with our marketing and our marketing team and our vendors to put some like quality content in front of the eyes of our customers.
Okay. All right. So how do you prepare for new retail openings?
In terms of the website, we always are going to see increase in traffic from that region or that area.
Yeah.
And so we are already seeing Texas ranking as a top 5 state for us, and the store hasn't even opened yet. And that wasn't the case before construction started on the store. Yeah. And so,
I mean, because no one knew what Shields was.
Right. So we're not going to have people come into our website if they don't know who we are,
yeah,
what we do.
Yeah.
Another prime example is our Johnstown, Colorado. It's a suburb of Denver.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably it's probably one of our more successful markets, and it's probably one of our more successful store openings. So the more we work with the store opening and making sure the store launch goes well, the more return that we'll see on our website, because it's, again, the customer for life. If they go into our store and they have an awesome time, they're going to go, if they're sitting on their couch looking through shields.com, they're going to maybe make a purchase or do a buy online, pick up in store.
Yeah.
But yeah, new stores are huge for the website. It increases traffic in that region.
Okay, so I guess another thing is, now that there's a Shields opening up in, in a certain region or something, when people look up, say, hunting, mm-hmm, on Google, just hunting, will Shields, like, pop up? And is that kind of how you guys get new customers, too, or is that, like, not a thing?
Yeah, so we do go after keywords, and that's something.
Okay.
We have a content team that writes like our product descriptions, for example, so,
mm-hmm,
we can try to get more organic traffic. So if a person just searches hunting jacket, we can try to rank higher for those search terms.
Yeah.
And that's a Google Analytics thing where we can look at, and we can see, say, if you're looking at optics, so scopes, binoculars, rangefinders, you know, we can look up terms that are specific, search terms that are specific to those products and what customers are doing.
Yeah. Because like, say if a customer never heard of Shields mm-hmm. or something, or like anyone who's yep. never heard of Shields sees it and they're like, oh, what do they have to mm-hmm. offer? And then they start, you know, buying from
Google is a prime example, very similar. So say you're shopping for a car and you're driving down the highway, you're not, and you drive past five car dealerships. You're probably going to have a car already bought before you even get to the third, fourth, or fifth one. So you want to be those first three dealerships. It's the same thing with Google. How often have you ever gone to the second page of Google when you're shopping?
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
If you search Nike running shoes, you're never going to get past the fourth or fifth or first page.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's a huge priority to be those first two or three on Google. And that's something that has been a big priority in 2019 is going to continue into 2020.
Okay. Can I ask who your biggest competition is?
The thing that makes Shields successful is that we sell everything.
Yeah.
And
like toys.
We sell everything. Yeah.
Everything.
But that makes it that much harder because we're trying to compete. The bigger your variety of product you have, the more competitors you're going to have. Because we could have a bike shop is they specifically are going after bike or terms that bikes are looking for on Google.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, we have a bike shop, we have shoes, we have clothing, we have toys, we have all these different things that we're going after. And so competitors that are specific are going to have an easier time going after those keywords because they're specific and they know they're going after one thing. They're going after a niche and we are going after everything. But that also makes us successful because it makes us the one-stop shop for kind of anything you need.
Yeah.
So
a lot of outdoors, whatever, anything.
Anything kind outdoors. Of. Like if your kids are in sports, you go to Shields because you can do it all at Shields.
Wide variety of anything, basically. All right. So lastly, I want to ask you one more thing. There's rumors of a new corporate office.
Yep. Yeah. It's that just got announced. I guess a couple months ago now. It'll be right on the intersection of I-94 and I-29, out by the zoo. There's a big open field out there.
Yeah.
And so I think they're saying that they're going to break ground in probably fall of this year. And I think it's going to be a 2-year project. There's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be put in and there's just a lot that needs to go into that process. But, you know, when I started in 2016, when I started in the marketing office, the website was under the marketing office. It was all one department.
Yeah.
And there was 24 people between the website and the marketing office.
Okay.
Now, I think if you were to add them together, you know, they're divided up now, but if you were to add them together, I think they're at 88, 89 people total. So in, you know, 4 years,
doubled,
tripled. The corporate office is growing extremely fast and we're knocking down walls. People are sharing desks. So it's a definite need for sure.
Okay. And it's just the corporate office.
It'll be just a corporate office.
The Shields is going to stay.
Yeah, it won't be connected to we won't be connected to the store anymore. The store will stay in the same spot.
So is Shields going to get bigger with like selling? Like, I know the corporate office, I'm guessing it. I've never been back there.
Yeah.
Is it pretty big?
In terms of especially in our new stores, Fargo is actually one of our smaller stores compared to our new stores.
Really?
A lot of our stores are much larger than the Fargo store.
Okay.
So there is room to grow, and Fargo is one of our most successful stores. So there is room to expand. whether just in assortments or new products. But I think the corporate office is going to get transitioned into a more office-based for the stores.
Okay.
So everything right now is downstairs. It's underground, all the offices and everything. So
okay.
I think it'll be better for the store. It'll be more efficient for the store. But yeah, so it'll be a good move for everybody. It's just starting to get pretty cramped. So.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Okay, well, I think that was the last thing I had to ask you, but I just wanted to say thank you for coming and taking time out of your day and doing this with me. And
no problem at all. It was fun to be here, for sure.
Thank you.